Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Naruktamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatojayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, Chapter entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Text number 10. Dashtam Janam Sampatitam Bilesin Kalahina Shudra Sukhoru Tarsham Samudarainam Kripaya Pavargyair Vachobir Asincha Mahanubharva Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin Kalahina shudra Sukho rutasham Samudarainam kripaya pavargar Vachobir asincha mahanubharva Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin Kalahina shudra sukhoru tarsham Samudarainam kripaya pavargyair Vajobi asincha mahanubharva Dashtam bitten and janam the person Sampatitam hopelessly fallen, bilay in the dark hole, osmin this kala of time, ahina by the serpent, kshudra insignificant, sukha having happiness, Uru and tremendous. Tarasham, anchoring. Samudara, please uplift. Enam, this person. Kripaya, by your causes, mercy. Apavargyai, that awaken one to liberation. Vachobi, by your words. Asincha, please pour. Maha Anubharva, O Almighty Lord. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Just close that door. O Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence, where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Purport. Material life, so much cherished by the non-devotees, is here compared to a dark hole filled with poisonous snakes. In material life, there is certainly no clear understanding of one's ultimate identity, of God or the universe. Everything is vague and dark. In material life, the poisonous snake of time is always threatening. And at the moment, and at any moment, our near and dear ones will be killed by the mortal fangs of the serpent. Ultimately, we ourselves will also be bitten and killed by the poisonous effects of time. The word sampatitam indicates that the fall down of the living entity is complete. In other words, he cannot get up again. Sri Uddhava, therefore, appeals to the Lord to be kind to these fallen souls, humbly represented by his own self. If one receives the Lord's mercy, better late than never. Everyone has to be more conscious of these things. When the Bhagavatam class begins, then you have to give the garland to the speaker, you have to bring water. Everyone just sits there. It's not good. It's not etiquette like that. You have to follow these things properly. All of you just sit there and no one notices. So. If one receives the Lord's mercy, then even without any further qualification, one can go back home, back to Godhead. And without the mercy of Lord Krishna, the most learned, austere, powerful, wealthy, or beautiful man will be pathetically crushed by the material world's machinery of illusion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described here, is Mahanubhava, or the greatest, most powerful, and most merciful personality, whose influence extends everywhere. The Lord's mercy is manifest in the form of his nectarian instructions, such as the Bhagavad Gita and the Uddhava Gita, being spoken here. The word Shudra, Sukoru, Tarasham reveals the irony of material existence. Although material happiness is Shudra, or ridiculous and insignificant, our desire to enjoy it is Uru, tremendous. Our disproportionate hankering to enjoy dead matter is certainly an illusory state of mind, and it gives us constant distress, keeping us bound up in the dark hole of material existence. Every living entity should put aside his false prestige based on ephemeral bodily qualifications and appeal sincerely to the Lord Krishna for his mercy. The Lord hears every sincere appeal from even the most fallen soul, and the effects of the Lord's mercy are wonderful. Although jnanis, yogis, and fruitive workers are laboriously endeavouring to achieve their respective goals, their position is precarious and uncertain. Simply by achieving the mercy of Lord Krishna, however, one can very easily attain the highest perfection of life. Even if one who is not a great or pure devotee of Lord Krishna sincerely appeals to the Lord for his mercy, the Lord is sure to give it generously. Om Gyan Timanandasya Ginunjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padamtikam Bancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Pititanam Abhinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Shri Advaita Gurata Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So it's interesting, the point is made in this purport that the desire of the jiva to enjoy the material world is practically unlimited. Therefore we are known as nitya bada, living entities. We've been in this material world since time immemorial. There's practically not a time. No, it's practically, Prabhupada explains, we've been here for so long now, it's very difficult to trace out when we actually came into the material world. We've been here for unlimited lifetimes, practically. And although the material world is primarily suffering, which means dukkhalaya, ashashvatam, Krishna says the material world is principally a place of suffering. It's not a place of enjoyment. If you think you are mainly enjoying, that is called maya or illusion. For some period of time, you may experience that you are primarily enjoying in the material world. You think, I am young, I am happy, I have a strong body, and I have opportunities to enjoy my senses. But in due course of time, all of this will dwindle with old age and disease. It is just a matter of time until you cannot enjoy so thoroughly in the material world. So primarily it is a place of suffering. We become very illusioned, and we think that we are mostly enjoying in this material world, but we do not actually see that the real place or the real nature of this world is suffering, especially in the sterilized Western countries like Australia. In Australia, they hide all of the suffering as much as they can. Whereas if you go to the Eastern countries, like India, you'll see the suffering is just on the street. Like you go to Jagannath Puri, and there's many, many lepers there. Many people have leprosy. You see many beggars. They come and they beg and they have no fingers, no hands, or they've been eaten by leprosy. Actually, it is described that if you commit an offence to the Mahaprasadam of Krishna, then, and specifically, it says because in Jagannath Puri, the way to become purified, it describes in each of the principal holy dhams, there is a principal way to become purified. When you go to Mayapur, the principal way to become purified is Nam Sankirtan, is by chanting the holy names of the Lord in congregation with the devotees. When we go to Vrindavan, the principal way to become purified is by the Braj Raj, or by the dust of Vrindavan, which means that as much as you can when you go to Vrindavan, you roll in the dust. You offer your obeisances, you offer prayers at all the samadhis and all the temples, and you get into the dust of Vrindavan, and this is how you become purified principally in Vrindavan. And in Puri, it describes that you become purified by Jagannath Mahaprasad, because Jagannath Mahaprasad is extremely powerful. It is said that actually the temple of Jagannath in Puri, it is the biggest kitchen in the world. If you get up onto the roof of the library opposite the temple, opposite the Simhadwara or the main gate of the temple, and you look over to the left, in the left corner of the temple, you'll see the kitchen is there. It is 1 acre in size, which means it's about as big as this property here. I think this is about 1 acre that we're on now, the whole temple grounds. That's just the kitchen. And the kitchen is traditional. It has not changed for thousands of years. They only cook on wood. There's no electricity, there is no gas. They only cook on wood. And they have 700 ovens. And they only cook in clay pots. They don't use metal pots or just clay pots. And the kitchen is so powerful, and Jagannath's prasad is so powerful, that in 3 hours they can cook enough prasadam for 10,000 people. Most powerful kitchen in the world, Jagannath's kitchen. Like that. So, Jagannath Prasadam is extraordinarily powerful. It says that when you go to Puri, then you get purified by the Prasad, by taking Jagannath Prasad. Now, it says that if you commit an offence to Jagannath Prasad, in your next birth you take birth as a leper. That's why you see in Puri there's so many lepers are there, because they've committed that. And everyone knows, in Puri everyone knows, the lepers are the people who have offended Jagannath Prasad. Jagannath Prasadam is said to be non-different from Jagannath. The Mahaprasad of the deity is non-different from the deity. You have to respect it as much as you respect the deity. And Jagannath Puri, that is the consciousness. All the devotees, they respect the Mahaprasad as much as they respect the deity. Just like you see in the pastime of when Haridas Thakur disappeared from this world, that when Lord Chaitanya personally put him into samadhi in the beach, and then he covered his body, then Lord Chaitanya, he put Mahaprasad from Jagannath with Haridas Thakur and some ropes from the Ratha Yatra. So different items of Mahaprasad, because the Mahaprasad of the deity is non-different from the deity. We see in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we see in Jagannath Puri, everyone respects the prasadam as non-different from the deity. Just like Srila Prabhupada has said that when the sets, the deities' clothes, when they become old and the deities cannot wear their clothes anymore, then Prabhupada said you can give them to the devotee children as Mahaprasad and they can wear them. wear the clothes of the deities as Mahaprasad. Because by coming in contact with any of the Mahaprasad of the deity, you become purified in consciousness. If you wear the garlands of the deity, just like sometimes we get garlands from the altar, from the deity, which is a great honour or great respect. In ISKCON, we are a little spoiled because we get so much Mahaprasad, we take it for granted. But if you go to India, in many of the temples, then to get a garland from the deity is a great, you know, people, it's a great honour. And we just think, oh, it's a garland, like that. But for them, they think, oh, like that. And if they get a little, like in India, if you go to most of the temples, when you get Mahaprasad from the deity, it usually it means a morsel, like it means this much. Right? In ISKCON, it means... So we just think, oh, Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad. Right? Mahaprasad. We can just go down the kitchen, steal it before it even gets out. You know, Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad. Oh, we have so much, we have so much. No, it's not like that. It means that we become familiar. And that breeds contempt. It means then you can possibly commit offences. So you have to understand the potency of Mahaprasad. Right? If you just get a little Mahaprasad, it's considered to be a great honour. It must always be respected. When we first opened our temple in London, the first Radha Krishna deities which were installed in ISKCON were Radha London Ishwara. And there's an amazing pastime that took place there was Prabhupada was saying to the devotees, we have to open a temple in London. And we have to open a temple. And we have to have Radha Krishna deities. And Prabhupada was putting a lot of pressure on the devotees. This is what ISKCON is like. You get a lot of pressure. That's not... You know, if you want a peaceful life, then you know, go and live in the Himalayas or something. But if you want an intense life, then just stay in ISKCON. Because Prabhupada used to put a lot of pressure on the devotees. That was Prabhupada's mood. Like my Guru Maharaj said one time to us, he said, what do you think it was like being with Prabhupada? Because my Guru Maharaj would sometimes be quite heavy with us, like that. And then sometimes he could see that we were like, you know, shaken by the heaviness. And he said, what do you think it was like being with Prabhupada? He said, I'm nothing compared to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was heavy. And Prabhupada was pushing the devotees. He was saying, we have to have a temple in London. And we have to find Radha Krishna deities. So the devotees think, where are we going to find Radha Krishna deities? In London. Right? So they're looking around, they're asking everyone. And then finally, by the arrangement of Krishna, one Indian man, he said to the devotees, I have Radha Krishna deities, which we brought from India to be installed, but we're not going to install them now. So if you're interested, you can have them. So then Prabhupada went to Mokrishna Maharaj and I think it was Mukunda Maharaj, maybe. Shama Siddhar Prabhu was there. They went to the Indian man's place and Prabhupada went in with the Indian, with the devotees to see him. And Prabhupada was sitting in the lounge room. The deities were in the corner and they were covered by a cloth. And they were just sitting in the corner under the cloth. And then the Indian man, Prabhupada, was talking. He was asking, how is your family and what do your children do and what do you do? And he was just talking and talking. And then after some time, the man said, oh, Swamiji, would you like to see the deities? And Prabhupada looked and he said, Prabhupada was like, he was acting like he was disinterested. He said, we can see them, like that. So the man took the cloth off and Prabhupada said, very nice. And then Prabhupada kept talking. And he kept asking about them, you know, what does your son do and where does your brother come from and what do you do and which place in India and like that. And the man kept saying after some time, he kept saying, Swamiji, the deities. And Prabhupada said, they're very nice, like that. And then he would just keep talking. And he said, and then what does your grandmother do? And, you know, like and he just keeps going on like that. So after some time, then the Indian man, he said, then Swamiji, but what about the deities? And Prabhupada said, we may be interested. So he said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, pick up Krishna. How heavy is he? So Tamal Krishna Maharaj went around and he picked up Krishna. He said, he's not so heavy, Prabhupada. And then I think it was Shama Sundar Prabhu or Mukunda Maharaj. He said, how heavy is Radharani? So they went and they picked up Radharani and they said, he said, not so heavy, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, okay, we will take them. And Prabhupada stood up and he walked out. And they followed him with Radha London Ishwara. So the man was running behind Prabhupada saying, Swamiji, Swamiji, we have to talk about this, because he wanted some remuneration. He wanted some money. And said, Swamiji, Swamiji, we have to talk about it. And Prabhupada said, no, it's okay, we will take them. And Prabhupada kept walking, and he got into the car, and then they put the deities into the back, into the car, and they were holding the deities in the van. And the man was still at the window, and then Prabhupada wound down the window, and the man was saying, Swamiji, Swamiji, we have to talk about it. And Prabhupada said, no, everything is fine. No problem. And Prabhupada said that, he said, yes, thank you very much, like that. And then he said, you can drive. So then they drove around the corner, and when they got around the corner, Prabhupada said, stop the car. And then he stopped the car and he turned around, and then he looked at London, Radha London Ishra, and then he began to chant Brahma Samhita. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. And he said, Radha and Krishna have come to us. And these were Prabhupada's favorite deities in the whole of ISKCON. One time, Prabhupada was in front of Radha Rasa Bihari in Juhu, in Mumbai. And the Pujari said to Prabhupada, he said that Radha, and Prabhupada, if everyone knows Prabhupada Leelamrita, Prabhupada's pastimes, you know how much Prabhupada had to fight to install Radha Rasa Bihari in the land in Juhu. He had, you know, and Prabhupada said after that all took place and Mr. Nair passed away, Prabhupada said this was the best fight. Prabhupada was a Kshatriya. He was a general. His mood was like that. He was a general. Prabhupada was in another country and he found out that Mr. Nair, and then he found out everything was settled and then we had the land and everything was settled. And Prabhupada went back and Prabhupada said this was the best fight. Prabhupada was fighting for Krishna. That was his mood. Like that. So, one time he was in front of Radha Rasa Bihari, and the devotees said, Radha Rasa Bihari, the most beautiful deities. And then Prabhupada, he thought for a moment and said, Radha Landanishwara, also very beautiful. So they were his favourite deities, Radha Landanishwara. And when 1977, just before Prabhupada left this world, he went back one more time to the West, even though his health was practically finished. He was practically... his body was practically emaciated. They had to carry him. Brahmananda Prabhu had to pick him up in, was it May or June? No, it was Janmashtami, so it was around about August in 77. Brahmananda Prabhu had to pick Prabhupada up and carry him to the car. And Prabhupada went back to the West one more time. He was going to go on a preaching tour. He had a whole tour lined up to go around the world. But he got to London and he said, that's it. He said, take me back to Vrindavan. But he went to London one more time to see Radha Landanishwara and Radha Gokulananda, like that. So now one time when the devotees installed Radha Landanishwara, then the Tomal Krishna Maharaj, he wrote a letter to all the life members to invite them to come for the festival. And Srila Prabhupada asked Tomal Krishna Maharaj to read him the letter before it was sent to all the members, inviting everyone to come to the festival. And Tomal Krishna Maharaj wrote in the letter, he said, come and take prasad. And then, when he read that to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, no. He said, change it. He said, honour prasad. He said, we never take prasad. We honour prasad. Right? It's actually an offence to be standing when you're taking prasad. You see devotees sometimes walking around the courtyard or walking through the temple eating prasad. It's an offence. It's aparadh. No one will do that in Jagannath Puri. If they're taking Lord Jagannath's prasad, no one just walks around. It's an offence to have your shoes on while you're taking prasad. It's aparadh. Right? When you take prasad, you must be sitting. You know, this Indian people, they don't understand. You know, on Saturday night, they all sit around, stand around the courtyard eating, standing up with their shoes. It's not actually honouring prasad. It's not. I mean, they don't know, but it's not actually the etiquette. We have to train people. What is the etiquette? When you're taking prasad, you should honour prasad. The prasad is non-different from the deity. The prasad is to be respected as much as Krishna. So in Jagannath Puri, we see there are so many lepers. So many people, they have leprosy, and it is understood the reason they have leprosy is because they have offended the Mahaprasad of the deity. So if you offend the Mahaprasad, if you offend the deity, it is non-different from offending the deity itself. Just like one time we were in Jagannath Puri, and one of the pandas from the temple, from the Jagannath Mandi, he brought us some Jagannath Mahaprasad. And he was packing the pots, he was bringing them out and putting them on the ground, and accidentally, his foot accidentally touched one of the pots. So immediately he paid obeisances to the pot. This is respect. Prabhupada says that you should never touch your feet to anything, because everything belongs to Krishna. One time, one of Prabhupada's early secretaries, he moved Prabhupada's typewriter with his foot. And Prabhupada said, pay your obeisances to the typewriter. Right? Because the energy of Krishna is non-different from Lord Balaram. Everything is actually about... That's why the mridangas are called Balaram mridangas. See, it says Balaram mridanga. Prabhupada gave this name, Balaram mridanga. They're non-different from Balaram. Prabhupada said the mridangas must never be put on the floor. Right? And or anything which is Krishna's property. Right, should never be, actually, even though we put on the mat, that's not actually appropriate. You see, in the temple we actually have stands there. The mridanga should actually be on a stand. Even on the mat is not actually appropriate. I mean, we do it because it should not be on the floor, but actually the mridanga especially is sacred, and it should be kept above the ground, and anything which belongs to Krishna should not be touched with our feet. And if we touch anything with our feet, then immediately we should offer obeisances out of respect, understanding that all this paraphernalia is non-different from the deity. The paraphernalia of the deity and the deity are non-different. So if one disrespects, and he's directly disrespecting the deity. So, it's being described in this verse that everyone in the material world, they are... within the material world, we've been here for lifetime and lifetime and lifetime. And even though we are primarily suffering within this material world, principally everyone in this material world is suffering, but still our desire for enjoyment is not diminishing greatly. Right? And we examine ourselves, we examine our consciousness. Even though some of us have been devotees for a long time, but we examine our consciousness, our desire to enjoy the material energy has not diminished greatly. We still have very strong desire to enjoy the material world. Even though, principally, what we've experienced in the material world is suffering. Principally, it is suffering. And if you're not experiencing so much suffering as yet, then you just wait around a little bit longer, and you will experience more and more suffering. That is the nature of the material energy. Just like when we look in the mirror, what do we see each year that goes by? We see indications of age coming. Just like you look in the mirror, and what color is your hair turning? Most of you are young, so you don't know. But those of us who are a little older, whose bodies are beginning to decay, right, then we understand that the body, when we look in the mirror, we can see there are signs there the body is beginning to decay. It's just a matter of time. And the devotee, he understands that it's just a matter of time until I will leave this world. And before we leave this world, generally, we will go through a certain amount of suffering. As suffering increases. Old age is not particularly pleasant. Right. So, this is the reality. But even still, our desire to enjoy is so strong. Just like there was one king and one advisor to the king. Do you remember? Was it Akbar? And what was the?
Birbal.
He was the advisor. Like that. So, Akbar and Birbal. So, Birbal was saying to Akbar, Akbar was a great Muslim king. He said to Akbar, he said that even when you get old, your desire to enjoy with the opposite sex does not diminish. And Akbar was saying, no, it all diminishes. When you get old, automatically, sex desire decreases. And he says, no, I will show you. So then he said, come with me. And he took him to one of the citizens within his kingdom. And this old man was just about to die. And generally, when the king or when the leader of the country comes to see you at the time of your death, it's a great honor. But Birbal said to Akbar, he said, come and visit the king, but bring your daughter as well. bring the princess. So then Birbal and Akbar and Akbar's daughter, the princess, they all went to see this old man. And then he said, Birbal, when he got to the door, he said to Akbar, he said that when we walk in, you watch what happens with this old man. You observe his consciousness. Right? He's very old. He's just about to die. Right? He's suffering so much. And the king of the country is just about to come and honour him by visiting him just at the time of his death. And he said, you observe his consciousness. So he walked in, Akbar, with his daughter, and immediately the old man's eyes went to his daughter. Immediately looked at his daughter. Even though the king was standing right there, but no, he looked at the daughter. She's such a beautiful young girl. And then after they left, then Birbal said, see, I told you so. Even though we are suffering so much in the material world, but our desire to diminish this suffering, it does not decrease very easily. Because as Srila Prabhupada has explained to us, we are Nitya Bhada, living entities, which means we've been here since time immemorial. We've been here for so long that we are deeply conditioned at this point in time. It is like one of my godbrothers gave an example many years ago. He said that it is like if you have a band-aid, just like, you know, if you put a band-aid on, you get a cut or something, you put a band-aid on, it stays there for 3 days. Then when you take it off, right, it's extremely difficult to remove and it's painful. So he said, imagine having a band-aid that's been there for 40 years. Right, and then you try to remove that. Right? So that's what it's like. That's what our conditioning is like in this material world. We've been here for so many lifetimes and we have such a strong spirit, Karmendriya Priti, which is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have such a strong spirit to enjoy our senses, Kam Indriya Priti. Kam means lust. It means a desire to enjoy separately from God. Indriya means our senses, to enjoy our senses. Right, the senses which we have, to enjoy our senses. That desire is extremely strong and extremely powerful in this material world. Right, and it does not diminish very easily. Right? We have this inherently deep desire to enjoy Maya, to enjoy matter. Right, and it's very deeply ingrained within us. But actually, the jiva's senses are meant to be used in the service of the master of the senses. Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. Our senses are actually meant to be used in the service of Krishna. As opposed to Karmendriya Priti, it is meant to be, our senses are meant to be used in Krishna's service, for his pleasure. This is the definition of praying. As opposed, Krishnendriya Priti. Krishna Indriya. This is the nature of the jiva, or the original constitutional position of the jiva, is his senses are meant to be used in the service of Krishna. Krishna Indriya. Krishna means our senses are meant to give pleasure to the senses of Krishna. This is called praying. This is called love. As opposed to kam, or lust. Atmendriya Priti. Atma Indriya means our own senses. We're trying to, that is the definition of kam. We're trying to enjoy the senses for ourselves, as opposed to using our senses in the service of Krishna. So this is very difficult to remove from the consciousness of the jiva, because it has been here for such a long time. So then we may think, what hope do we have? Do we have any hope? And yes, we do have hope, fortunately. We only have one hope. Because we've taken birth in this particular age, which is very special, and is called Kali Yuga. So normally it's considered to be the most inauspicious age, but actually it's the most auspicious age. One time, three sages were arguing, and they were asking, what is best? Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, or Dwapara Yuga? So the three sages were saying, which is best? One sage was saying, Satya Yuga is best. One said, Treta is best. The other one said, Dwapara Yuga is best. So then they went to visit Srila Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva was taking bath at that time in the Ganges, in Bhadrak Ashram. So then he was taking his bath and he was dipping under the water and then coming back up. And then he was dipping under the water and coming back up. So they were arguing amongst themselves. They said, what is best? So then they said, which of the ashrams is best? Brahmachari ashram. One was saying Brahmachari ashram is best. One was saying Vanaprastha is best. One was saying Sannyasa is best. So they asked Vyasadeva, which is best? He went under the water and he came back up and he said, Grihastha is best. Because Grihastha ashram, without Grihastha ashram, the other three ashrams cannot be sustained and supported. They are maintained by the Grihastha ashram. And Grihastha ashram, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in Kali Yuga, it is a very safe place for devotees. He said it's a very good position for devotees in Kali Yuga to make advancement in Krishna consciousness from the Grihastha ashram. So then they said to Srila Vyasadeva, they said, which of the Varnas is the best? One was saying Brahmana is best, one is saying Kshatriya is best, and the other one was saying Vaishya is best. So they said to Vyasadeva, which is best? And he went under the water, he came up, and he said, Mataji is best. They said, which Varna is best? And he said, Mataji is best. And Prabhupada explains this in Krishna book. Some of the Matijis are looking at me like... So, Prabhupada explains this in Krishna book. He explains that women are just naturally attracted to Krishna. Men are very analytical, very philosophical, very intellectually inclined. But bhakti is not based on intellect. Bhakti is based on emotional sentiment or feeling towards Krishna. So Prabhupada explains in Krishna book that Matijis naturally, they just are attracted to Krishna just because he is Krishna. Because he is so beautiful. He is Shyama Sundara. He is the most charming and attractive personality. So women tend to be very simple. And bhakti is based on simplicity. Whereas men, they look at Krishna and they think, oh, is he actually God? Is he actually supreme? Can he actually be as powerful as he is? Is his holy name actually non-different from him? You know, and men tend to sometimes get too analytical. But bhakti is actually based on a simple heart. It is based on simplicity. So Vyasadeva said the Matijis are the best. And then they said, which of the Yugas is best? Satya, Treta or Dwapara? So Vyasadeva came up and he said, Kali Yuga is best. Because Kali Adosha Nite Rajan Asti Hyeko Mahan Guna. Even though Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, even though it is dark and chaotic, but still it has one great quality. Kirtanad Eva Krishna Shah Mukta Sangha Paramvrajet. Just by chanting the name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Mukta Sangha. Mukta Sangha means you can become liberated. Savo Padi Vinir Muktam, you can become liberated from all material designations. You can become liberated from material consciousness, from all of your attachments in this material world. All of this can be transcended in Kali Yuga very easily. And Paramvrajet. Paramvrajet means you can attain the supreme destination, which is beyond this material creation. Golokera Prima Dham Harinam Sankirtan. This Sankirtan, this chanting Hare Krishna, has come from Goloka Vrindavan itself. It has descended into this world. And Prabhupada explains that the Sankirtan movement is so potent that one simply has to dance in Kali Yuga. You simply have to come before the deities of Gaur Nitai, raise your hands in the air, and loudly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in congregation with the other devotees using Kartal and Mridanga. And this process is so powerful, it can liberate you from the material clutches. This is the potency of Kali Yuga. Not the potency of Kali Yuga, but it is the potency of the Yuga Dharma within Kali Yuga. So actually we're very fortunate. Sometimes we think our lives are miserable. But actually we're very fortunate, and everything inauspicious can become auspicious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master Ishwara Puri said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kolo, Nasjeva, 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 Kati Anyata. There is no other way to become purified in Kali Yuga except to chant the holy name, to chant the holy name, to chant the holy name. Ishwara Puri said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are a fool. You were previously Nimai Pandit, such a learned personality, so learned. But actually you're a fool. Just chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and perfect your life. Do not become proud or attached to your learning or your qualification, but simply become a humble devotee. So this is the mood. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that of the five principal angas of bhakti which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, right? Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vas, and Sri Murtir Shradaya Sevan. Right? Of these five principal methods of purification, Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur explains all of them revolve around Nam Sankirtan. Right? What is Sadhu Sangha? Sadhu Sangha means we associate with the devotees. Why? To chant the holy name. Right? Then Bhagavat Shravan. Why do we hear the Bhagavatam? Because the Bhagavatam glorifies the holy name. Right? When we go to the holy dham becomes manifest by the holy name. Right? And when we worship the deity, the worship of the deity is hollow or empty or incomplete, Jiva Goswami explains, without the chanting of the holy name. When we chant the holy, when we worship the deity, there are so many mantras made up of the names of the Lord, the Gayatri mantra and so forth that we use while we're chanting, while we're worshipping the deity. And this is where the deity worship comes alive. So everything is based on the holy name in Kali Yuga. So although everything is inauspicious, everything becomes auspicious simply by chanting the holy name. So we're so fortunate. We took birth in Kali Yuga. Normally in Satya Yuga it takes 60,000 years to attain perfection. In Kali Yuga you can do it in 60 years. If you are serious, if you are Tivrina Bhakti Yogena, if you are serious about Krishna consciousness, you can attain what cannot be attained in thousands of years otherwise. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Then, seva aparads, generally, it is explained that they will be destroyed by the chanting of the holy name. Generally, like that. But it means two things. It means you must have a repentant heart. It means that you may have committed those offences, but in your heart you have genuine remorse for the fact that you've done those offences. And secondly, it means that now you have gyan or education on the nature of that offence, you do not commit it again. If you're a repeated offender, then you will get reactions. If you are genuinely trying not to commit these offences, then the holy name will eradicate the reactions. Like that. Any other question or comment? Stepping over the pots of prasadam.
Yes, and
yeah, that means that if you step over anything which belongs to Krishna, that is aparad. As we explained, Srila Prabhupada said that you cannot touch your feet to anything. So then if you step over anything which is to be offered to Krishna, that is aparad. So if you step over prasad, if you step over a devotee, like that, just like you see when devotees come into class, you have to be very careful not to step over the devotees. You put your hand down and you wait for the devotees to move, and then you can move through if you go, especially if you're in a very crowded place like you go to Mayapur and thousands of devotees are sitting down. You have to be very careful if you're going to move through the devotees. And any of Krishna's paraphernalia, like the garlands. Sometimes the devotees are making garlands like that. So to step over them is an aparad that's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. Oh, that's any other question or comment? What's that? You step over. The actual flowers which are offered to Krishna, they cannot be touched by the feet. And it's also mentioned in the Archana Padati that you cannot pick the flowers with the left hand. So there are certain rules which are there. So, you know, you have to be very careful that the flowers are not touched by the feet. And that, you know, sometimes if you have to climb up to get some flowers like that, then you may have to, you know, touch certain things with your feet. But the actual flowers which you're collecting should never be touched by the feet, picked by the left hand. It says they should never be stored in an unclean pot.
But the plant might be inherent.
Yes,
the plant is not inherent.
You might touch, yeah. So try to avoid as much as you can, but sometimes practicality means that, like that. All these things are mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. Then Rupa Goswami says offences to be avoided. Very early in the process of bhakti, in sadhana bhakti, he says offences to be avoided. You have to learn the offences. You have to know the 64 offences. You have to know the 10 nama parads. All these things must be understood. Like that. If you don't understand them, you may be committing offences, and that holds you back in your progress in spiritual life. So, any other question? Is that the Yuga Dharma?
Yes.
It's an extension of the Yuga Dharma. That prasadam distribution is distributing the Mahaprasada of the Diti. Like that. So we go to Crossways. What are we doing at Crossways? We're distributing Radha Balava's Mahaprasad. That's what's taking place. So that's an extension of Diti worship. So everything is an extension of the Yuga Dharma. But it means that the devotees, principally and primarily, their main practice has to be Harinam Sankirtan. It means every day the devotees should come before Gaur Nitya and they should dance and chant in ecstasy. Right? And then they should regularly participate in Harinam Sankirtan. Devotees should regularly come together and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And everything else that we do is an extension of that principal activity. So it is all connected to Sankirtan, but it does not replace Sankirtan. It doesn't mean that you can't do Sankirtan. You can't say, well, I'm doing this, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, I'm distributing prasad. No, you have to do everything as an extension of Sankirtan. So you do Sankirtan, and then your services which are given, which are an extension of the Sankirtan movement. That's it. Any other question or comment? Yeah, the same, but it doesn't replace performing the Yuga Dharma itself.
No, of course not.
It's an
extension.
Yeah, it's an extension of it.
That's why they go together.
Yeah.
Started chanting because, you know, they were playing Hare Krishna mantra in Crossways. And
that's the way the devotee should always see it. Like that. Because I had one friend when I first became a devotee, and we were very good friends. I don't see her so much now, but we used to see each other. And she used to come and visit me. We used to have dinner in Gopal's. And she was a, what do they call them, like nail technician? You know, like beauty therapist, mate, you know. She was one of the best in Victoria. She used to win medals and like, you know, she'd make the ladies' nails and she'd paint their nails. So she had her own little studio in her house, and she used to have a picture, because I gave her a picture of Krishna. She liked that picture of Krishna laying on the tree playing the flute. I think it's called Murali Dar or something. So she had that just up there above the, like that, and I used to give her kirtans, and she used to play that while she was making the nails on the girls. So that she'd be filing the nails, and then the kirtan would be in the background, like that. And then people would say, "Oh, what is that?" And she'd say, "Oh, that's, you know, Hare Krishna. It's good for you. You should chant like that." And then she used to come and have dinner with me at Gopal's. And then this is before she got her own studio. And then she used to go back to, because in Gopal's the Maha Mantra would be playing in the background all the time. So then on Monday when she went back to work, she'd be, you know, filing someone's nails, and she'd be going, "Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna." And the girls say, "What are you saying?" She said, "Oh, I'm just chanting. And I'll go to this restaurant and I'm chanting like that." So everything is about giving people the holy name. Everything's about leading them to chanting the holy name. That's the purpose of our movement. Like that. Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.